Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We want to welcome members and visitors alike, a very special welcome to those of you that are visiting with us this morning. If you are visiting and are looking for a church home, we ask that you give us your name, address, and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew so that we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So, if you would pass those attendance pads down, please, and members and visitors alike, please register.
Monsieur Duroté.
Excuse me.
I must interrupt. I'm so sorry. It is very important that I talk. Bonjour, mademoiselles and madames and... Oh, messieurs. I am here to tell you about something that is very, very interesting and very exciting that is happening here at Main Street. This Saturday, they are having something called Sweet Smiles and Styles. And if you have not gotten your ticket, oh, shame on you. But you must get your ticket. It is at 11 o'clock on Saturday. It is only $20. You cannot get your car washed for $20 anymore. You must pay your money and come to the show. Wonderful entertainment, wonderful food, and the chefs of Main Street have made desserts that will be auctioned off, and we all need a little more poundage now, don't we? But at any rate, we hope that you will make a point to be there. There will be tables for everyone to sit according to the months of the year. They will be decorated so beautifully, you will be astounded when you see them. But if there is some reason that you cannot come, like you are planning to be sick, or you are planning to pass away, well, then what you need to do is be very, very sweet. Okay? You with me? You should smile, and you should stylishly write a check, so that you give to the fun even though you can't be there. Because we used to have fun, but the whole purpose is to raise money for this glorious church. And it's for the capital campaign. But if you don't want to give it to the capital campaign because there is something that is near and dear to your heart, well, they'll let you give it to whatever you want to. How much more could you ask? So, make sure that you buy your ticket. They'll be outside this door today selling tickets, and they're not going to let you leave until you buy one. And, messieurs, if you think it's a girl thing and you don't want to come, well, that's okay. Just be sweet, smile, and write your stylish check. Thank you, and we'll see you Saturday.
I apologize. I don't know what that was all about. Let me see if I can remember where I was. A reminder that the Columbia College Choir will be presenting a concert next Sunday afternoon, April the 2nd, at 4 o'clock p.m. here in the Main Street United Methodist Church. This will be a concert in memory of William Bobo, who was the organist here at Main Street for so long. Also a reminder that our Wednesday night gathering series will continue this Wednesday night. You can make reservations using the reservation cards in the pew. The meal begins at 5:15 with the program beginning at 6:15. And Main Streeters are reminded that you will need to make reservations by April 10th for your April 25th trip, guided tour of the Bob Jones University Art Museum and Gallery. So you will need to make reservations for that by April the 10th. Also, the youth of our church are selling Main Street bumper stickers or window stickers, wherever you want to stick these things. It says Main Street United Methodist Church. It has the United Methodist Cross and Flame on there. And these are being sold by the youth for $5 a piece as part of their fundraiser. So everyone get a bumper sticker or a window sticker and put on all of your cars. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for our call to worship. Help us, O God, to recognize what may be our Judas ways, our impatience when things are not working out as we think they should, our failure to remember vows of loyalty made and gifts of love received. Shock us with the potential for betraying residing with us. Strengthen us for faithful service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Join me in the Lenten prayer of confession, and let us ask God to forgive us. Gracious God, forgive us for the indulgence that locates freedom outside of limits, for the indifference that stops caring to avoid the pain, for the despair that acts on our fears instead of our hopes, for the distrust that clutches old securities to avoid the risk in making things new, for the narrowness that makes blinders of our viewpoints, for the broadness that equates being tolerant with seeking justice, for the smallness that constricts the circles of our love, for the loftiness that loses sight of the view from below. Turn us around, we pray, and empower us to live more as your people are called to live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. For the past 6 years, I have been blessed with the prayers of my personal prayer warrior, Chip Stockman. When going through such endeavors as getting through high school, finding and starting at college, having a mother battle with cancer, traveling and performing with a drum corps for 3 months during the summer, four separate times, practice teaching with the band at Greenwood High School, preparing to graduate college, and now, at this very moment, searching for a job and a place to begin my career, it's very comforting to know that someone is thinking and praying for you daily. The prayer warrior group is very unique and special. My prayer warrior has not heard from me often over the past 6 years, an occasional letter or phone call here or there, but regardless of how frequently we speak, I know he is praying for me. It takes a very special person to make a promise to pray for someone with that level of commitment. So I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Chip and all of the prayer warriors who take that extra time every day to talk to God about someone other than themselves or their own family. I'd also like to thank Patricia Lindell for providing me the opportunity to now transition as a recipient of the Prayer Warriors to a participant. I have been told that I am the first graduate of the Prayer Warrior program. So as a new Prayer Warrior, I hope to provide the prayer as Chip has done for me for so many years. I am proud to say that as of today, 196 children and young people from 106 families are currently recipients of the Prayer Warrior program. We also have 140 prayer warriors that are also made up of 106 families, bringing a grand total of 336 total members of the program. We have just enough warriors to provide prayer for the current amount of families, so hopefully more of you can sign up. If you're interested, you should fill out the blue form and turn it into the church office. I also hope that more members of our church will take the initiative to participate in the prayer warrior program, because I can promise you from experience that whomever you pray for will greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
We thank you, Scott. And I will ask all of our prayer warriors who are currently sponsoring a child to stand up for the litany of dedication for our prayer warrior ministry. Wherever you are, if you are a prayer warrior, please stand. Christians know the power of prayer. We know that we have a loving God who cares for each of us. We know our God listens through our prayers to our deepest concerns. We know that God answers our prayers. Each of you standing has volunteered to become prayer warriors for Main Street United Methodist Church. You have offered to give a part of your personal prayer life and dedication to it, to the welfare of the very precious part of this body of Christ, that is, the children of our church. Together, you prayer warriors will pray for every child in this church every day by name. In doing so, you freely give a gift to our children, knowledge that someone who may not even personally know them is praying for them out of Christian love and dedication. There is no better example to show that the church is the body of Christ and that all its parts are bound together in love. And now, prayer warriors, do you promise that you will pray for the welfare of our children? Do you agree that each day you will pray by name for the children assigned to you, that they may grow in the way of Christ? If asked, will you take your child's special concerns to heart and raise them in prayer? And above all, will you do these things in Christian love, knowing that prayer is a powerful force in seeking God's direction for our children? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will. Now that we might accomplish what we hope to accomplish, I would like to call upon the entire church so that those of you who are seated might remember those who are standing, that this church might become prayer warriors for Christ. I would like for the rest of you to stand, please, and pledge yourselves to pray for those of you who are standing. Now, those of you who stand beside your brothers and sisters in Christ, will you promise to pray for these each and every day? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will. With God's grace, I will. Thank you. I ask you to please be seated. And now I ask you to turn for this high and holy moment in the life of this church and of every church, the baptism of a young child. Please turn to page 39 as we join together in the sacrament of baptism for Catherine Grace Tolley. I ask her, her parents, and sponsors to come forward. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Catherine Grace Tolley, for baptism today. And she has smiled at me. Okay. And now, as her parents, I ask you, Ronnie and Karen, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
Yes.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
Yes.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
Yes.
Yes. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, and to accept, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now to the congregation, for your part, as you support this family and support this child in Christian education and worship and programming, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
Amen.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Old and New Testaments. We will stop at the first section of each answer. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the quick and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to a land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations, declare his works to the people and his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless this gift of water and those who receive it to wash away their sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Oh. And now, what name is given this child?
Catherine Grace.
Hello, Catherine Grace. Catherine Grace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Let me take this. Let you hold. Catherine Grace, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, congregation of Main Street, it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. And now, members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together of you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, Catherine Grace, and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. I'm going to present her to the congregation. Okay. Y'all just, you can stand in front of the pew down there. And I'll give her back to you in a second. Going to preach. She's taking my microphone. Oh my God.
She's precious. She's precious. This is one of those moments when the folks on the radio congregation start looking around the dial and wonder what's going on. Well, we know it's a holy moment. As we come to our prayer time, we have several concerns. And one concern many people have asked me about my mother. I told you had some tests coming up. The test could have been better, but could have been worse. She does have a type of leukemia. They believe it is a type of leukemia that they can treat, and that should not impact her life in a terribly negative way. So I do covet your prayers. Pat Connell is in the hospital still and fighting a fever and infection and should be home in the next couple of days. We found out just this morning that Newell Whitener is in the hospital. We don't know why. We'll have to check on that. And we also have some additional concerns, if I can find where I wrote them down. We had some concerns from the choir this morning. I am sorry. Here they are. Yes. Jackie Woods and Frank Mathis, we've been asked to pray for. Also, a longtime member is in the hospital, Grace Agnew. And Nancy Bagwell, who is recovering from a fall, is here today. A little worse for wear, a little recovering, but here today, and we're glad that she's able to be out and around. We continue to be in prayer for Ray Ballantyne, Jason's father, Bill Sandell, Ed Hilliard, Barbara Shelley, Carol Bateman, Joyce Bartless, Lieutenant Brad Deloach, Beth Gray, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falal, David Abney, and Bette McCord Bly. Let us hold these concerns and our own private concerns and thanksgivings in our heart as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we give you thanks today for who you are, for your majesty, for your holiness, for your love, your forgiveness, and your grace. We come to worship you and how you have been a blessing in our lives in good times and a comfort in our lives through your Spirit in bad times. We thank you for being a part of your family, and we are honored that you have called us to be truly your children and to have a part in raising other children in our ministries into the faith to the point where they can say, "My Lord and my God." Give us new eyes for you and for the world as we grow from faith to deeper faith. Help us, Lord, to believe and to have faith and to trust and to have obedience to your will as we journey toward you, as we become more truly Christ-like and more truly your church. We give our hearts to you once again this day. Our yearning, our hope, our weakness, our strength, our wisdom that we have gained from pain, we offer it all to you. Lord, hear our prayers. And we offer you the concerns of our hearts for others and for ourselves, that they may be whole, that they may see the kingdom of God. For others, that they may have enough to eat and to drink, that they may have freedom, that they may have the blessings of peace and health. Hear, Lord, the prayers we have for ourselves and our families, and for others and their families, and for this world and what we have made of it, and for the church and what it ought to be and is becoming, and for the leaders of the nations of this world, that they be open to the influence of your Spirit. Lord, hear the silent and private and heartfelt prayers that we lift before you and our moment of private prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite the children down front now for children's time, a special children's time with Patricia Lindell.
As you come down, Keaton has the offering plate if you brought money down. Jackson has lit our candle for our special baptism for our member who is the star today. And the family can take that candle home to remember this special day. Pat Lindell is going to have our children's time today on the Prayer Warrior program.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah, that's fine. How are you this morning? So,
good for you.
This morning, we're going to talk about blessings. You know, we have so many blessings that we don't even think about. And last Sunday, I heard from the choir, a little girl said, I love my mommy. We all love our mommies. And all of us here are so blessed to be loved by our mommies and our daddies, our grandmommies and our granddaddies and our aunts and our uncles and all our close friends. But in this church, we have a very, very special blessing. And it's called a Prayer Warrior Ministry. And did you know, and I hope all of you know, that there's someone special in all these people out here who are praying for you, and that is their gift to you. And this is not a gift. You can't put it in a box. You can't tie it up with a pretty piece of paper, and you can't put a ribbon on it. Excuse me. But it's the most special gift that you could have. And there's this one person out here, or this one family, who is praying for you. And they have made a covenant to God. And you know what a covenant is? That's a promise. And they have promised that they will pray for you by name every day. Now then, we are so blessed that because we start with from the time little folks, just like little Katie, who was baptized a few minutes ago, all the way up to Scott, who was 22 years old. My, that's old, isn't it?
23.
Yeah, do you think you're ever going to be that old? No, you're not going to get...
Way
older than that. No. Oh, my. Well, anyway, we include our young people all the way through... The times of which when they're newborn all the way up till they probably can graduate from college. And we've learned this has been a very special ministry. And well, I hope that all of you know who your prayer warrior is. And if you don't know who it is, you ask mommy, you ask daddy, who is my prayer warrior? And they will tell you and make a point to meet them. And for prayer warriors out there, make a special effort to get to know these boys and girls and all these young people, because that is very special. At my house, at our time of day is in the mornings when we pray for ours, our prayer warriors, and they're right in the list right along with our children and our grandchildren. So they just do not get left out. And so I hope that you will remember them, know them, and learn all about them and let them know about you, so they can pray for you when you have some special times. Okay, don't you think it would be nice if we said thank you to them? I think it would too. Why don't we? We'll have just a little practice. Okay, let's go this way.
We'll say, thank you for praying for me. Can you do that?
Okay. We'll say a little prayer. Okay, let's have a prayer, and then we'll say thank you to all our prayer warriors, okay? Will that be nice? Okay, let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all the children and all the young people of this church. Lord, and thank you especially for all the prayer warriors who have given their gift of prayer to these children and these young people and helped them to go through their days, and as they grow older, they do learn and appreciate the meaning of this very special blessing. Go with these children this day, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's all stand. And before you go out to the extended care, okay, let's turn around and say thank you for praying for me. That's right. Thank you.
Let us pass the peace.
For it is thy
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for enough substance to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns to your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 15. And Jesus said, "Pray then like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join me in this affirmation for growth potential we're doing in these special 5 weeks. I believe God is good. I believe we possess God-given potential for growth beyond our understanding. I believe God wants to empower our lives by the Holy Spirit. I believe God created the church to continue the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. I believe the church is called to be an outpost of the kingdom of God on earth. I believe my congregation has possibilities for growth beyond my understanding. I believe God is now giving new dreams and vision for God's people to help a hurting world. I believe together we will make a difference. I believe God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm not naming names, but one day a Methodist gentleman told his Baptist friend at a Rotary Club meeting that he had become a Sunday school teacher at Main Street Church. His friend, who had known him a long time, was astonished. He said, "A Sunday school teacher? Well, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." Well, our new teacher said, "Why, everybody knows that. It goes, 'Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.'" As Baptist friend shook his head in disbelief and said, "You win. I had no idea you knew so much about the Bible." I said, that got everybody. Even people active in the church often have much to learn. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Lord's Prayer is what He taught and what we have as the model prayer to pray from the heart. To pray until we begin to understand that we belong no longer to ourselves or nation or party or tribe, but to our Father who is in heaven and whose will is to be done on earth by us. But it isn't done very often at the present moment by anyone. We are to say it until we can pray it, until we can live it as citizens of the kingdom that is coming but not yet fully come. Just as there is more to the prayer than we can comprehend, there is more to God's kingdom than has been revealed. God's kingdom is not finished. It is still coming through the likes of you and me. Now, to those who think they can worship God just fine at home, even though they are healthy enough to gather and worship together, but they stay home, I remind you the Lord's Prayer is not a private prayer. It is meant for us. It is meant for a gathered community. It is a prayer between two or three or more gathered in God's name, though you can pray it alone. It is obviously meant and constructed for corporate worship. When you say it or pray it, and there is a difference between saying it and praying it, you are merely practicing for the real thing, and that is praying it together here, between us and God and together as a congregation. Give us our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Some of you have noted in advance what I was going to preach about, and you looked up the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and also in Luke. You saw that what Jesus taught was a little bit shorter than what we pray in church each Sunday. Now, the answer is a seminary moment. It's something that I learned and we hardly ever talk about. And that is, in the very first century of Christianity, there was a teaching manual that was based on the memory of Jesus' words. In Greek, it is called the Didache. Now, that's one of those seminary words that we use, but it really just means the teaching. It's not that really a mysterious a word. It's the teaching. And in it, we find what was taught before we even agreed upon which books were inspired Scripture. Imagine that. Before we even agreed which books were inspired Scripture, there was this teaching. And it said that the Lord's Prayer, virtually identical to what we said this morning, was to be said three times a day. And that was an echo of the Jewish tradition in that day that you were to pray three times a day, but to pray, as early Christians, the Lord's Prayer. And it is from this ancient teaching that the extra words on the tail end were added, a sort of a doxology on the end. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You'll notice that's not in the Scripture. They were added in the first century. And that addition is sometimes found in your Bibles in Matthew, but always with a footnote saying, in the most ancient documents, it's not there, but in the ancient church, it was there. It does not change anything of what Jesus taught. Just think of it as an extended amen. You may say it, or you may pray it, three times a day if you wish, but I promise you this. It has more meaning and more power and echoes more what Jesus taught if you pray it from the heart together in worship. If you can tune in and remember to do that and listen to the corporate body joined in saying the Lord's Prayer together, I think you will hear what I mean. A missionary was teaching a Hindu woman the Lord's Prayer who had converted to Christian faith. And when he got to the end of the very first clause, Our Father who art in heaven, she stopped him. And she said, if God is our Father, that's enough. I will worry no more. We take a breath and we run through the prayer and we sprint past the most important part, Our Father, not my Father. It's us. It's our. It's we. And even when we pray this prayer by ourselves, we are connected with the church in our time and across the centuries. And I hear those around me, and I do hear the echoes of those recently gone on. Sometimes who I have visited in the hospital, and very often toward the end when there is an illness, we join in the Lord's Prayer, because sometimes when we become confused, when we become disoriented, when we become enfeebled, very little remains except what is ingrained in us. And what ought to be ingrained in every Christian is the Lord's Prayer. Through it we connect to something larger than ourselves. Something deeper. N.T. Wright, in his book, The Lord and His Prayer, he teaches, and we mostly have heard this in Sunday school and in our churches, that the word for Father which Jesus spoke in Aramaic was Abba. And Abba was the familiar, radically familiar word. It denotes intimacy and relationship way beyond the formal. And even way beyond the familiar. It is family. It means daddy. It means daddy. Wright pointed out that the first occurrence in the Hebrew Bible of the idea of God as Father really came before Jesus. It came from Moses when Moses marched boldly before Pharaoh and he says, "Thus says Yahweh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let my people go that they may serve me." Israel, for Israel to call God Father, was to hold on to the hope of freedom. The very first words of the Lord's Prayer contain within it not just intimacy, but also revolution. I serve God rather than Pharaoh, rather than anyone else, my Father. And if Israel belonged to God over against Pharaoh, then we belong to God over against all the powers or claims of tribe or party or nation. We are to obey God and to struggle with what that means when we live out our faith here and now, wherever and whenever we live. Child of God is our primary identity, not Southerner, no matter how that hurts your feelings. Not Democrat, not Republican, not Methodist, not Baptist, not race, not sex, not tax bracket, but child of God, our Father, our Daddy, who is above all of this and beyond all of this and after the end of all of this. And He has a separate will from ours. And those who would influence us to serve them, His will is so often contrary to theirs. And so our Heavenly Father has the will to lead us and to free us to serve in His coming kingdom. Not ourselves, or not to serve others, but our Father. Hallowed be His name. We have all heard the joke. I know you have. I'll give you the short version of the little boy who thought God's name was Howard. You've heard it, right? You haven't? All right. You should know it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what he heard. That's what he thought. No, it's not Howard. It's hallowed. In the Bible, the name of God is virtually indistinguishable from the person of God. Jesus in the Gospel of John is the Word or the name or the essence of God made flesh and dwelt among us. When we pray that God's name be hallowed or holy or sanctified or set apart, we are praying that God will let all the world see that He is the one true God. Our faith lived out. This prayer lived out can convince other people that God is real. I said this last week. In Matthew 5:16, I reminded you, it says, "Let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." As you serve God, you help convince others that God is real. A Methodist pastor, Rex Bevan, tells of a woman in Africa, in Mozambique, who received the light of Christ in her life and knew that she had to do something to serve His kingdom, but she was old and she was poor and she was blind and uneducated. And she asked a French missionary to underline in her Bible in red John 3:16. She had a plan. And so she would take that Bible and sit in front of a boys' school every afternoon in Mozambique. And when the school was out, she would ask a boy or two over and say, "Do you know French?" And some would proudly say, "Why, yes." And she would say, "Would you please read these words underlined in red?" And they did. And she would ask, "Do you know what these words mean?" And they would say, "No, I don't." And then she would tell them the story of Jesus. Eventually, 24 young men became Christian pastors due to this one elderly, poor, blind woman whose prayer was to help the kingdom come. Thy kingdom come is the key to the way we pray this prayer, and it changes us in our ideas about who we are and what we should be about. According to theologian Stanley Hauerwas, these three words teach us not of an earthly kingdom with borders and boundaries, but God's kingdom. Come in Christ, but still coming through His Holy Spirit. and through His church. So Hawawa says nationality doesn't matter. Ethnicity doesn't matter. Language doesn't matter. Skin color doesn't matter. Political affiliation doesn't matter. Economic status does not matter. Liberal or conservative does not matter. Doctrinal perspective does not matter. What matters? The kingdom boundaries encompass all those held by the cords of grace who profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, and know their need of Him as a Savior. Thy kingdom come means openness to a future which necessarily is changing. Of course, if God's will is to be done as it is not now being done, then change must happen. We are praying for God to change things. We are praying for God to change us. You remember the imperative mood from grammar class? I didn't either until I looked it up. Have you ever noticed that Jesus teaches us to essentially, grammatically demand our daily bread from God? Abba, Daddy, give us enough bread for each day. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation or the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. These are all imperatives. We are taught that we may make demands of God in accordance with God's will. We have claims for God to behave like God. And God revealed the way that He wishes to behave toward us in Jesus Christ. These are demands. Not if it be your will, not pretty please give us bread. It's not a request, it's an imperative. Give. The prayer is simply, do it, because you are who you are. Look at it this way. You don't have to butter God up to pray for God to do what God has already said that God will do. Jesus taught us to pray boldly in this way, in these words. Pray for God's will as a child who knows that he or she is beloved. I'll give you an example. When my daughter Christina needs something that's absolutely necessary, tuition or a prescription or a doctor bill or a bookstore from the college, I'll tell you what she does. She just presumes that I'm going to do what is best for her. She presumes quite a lot. She fills out the check and she brings it to me and says, sign it. Now she already knows my will is for her best. All she needs is my name to make it so. I am not saying that prayer is a blank check. I am saying that this prayer teaches praying for God's will. And its teaching is that enough. Bread enough for you and for us, all of us, is God's will. In God's name and through God's people, there is enough to cover basic needs. You know, when I'm thinking about that basic need, the bread enough for one day part of the prayer, the fact that the storage business is one of the fastest growing businesses in America shows that instead of sharing from our abundance, we are building or renting bigger barns. Let those who have ears hear. Changing subjects about forgiveness. Do you remember the Rodney King arrest and the trial that followed and the riots that followed after that? You remember that. Two things about that whole incident speak volumes of the human condition and how far we are from God's kingdom, God's peace, God's shalom. The first thing is that when Rodney King came on the camera and he pleaded, I thought sincerely, can't we all just get along? People laughed. People laughed in derision. People mocked at the impossibility. People revealed that the kind of world they saw a world where the answer is obviously no. That phrase, can't we all just get along, has become a standard bad joke among comedians and commentators. from partisan politics to race relations to the Middle East, people smirk and they say, can't we all just get along? With the implied answer being no, of course not. Worldview today. And after the trial in South Central Los Angeles, when it erupted in violence, you'll remember that during that riot, a truck driver named Reginald Denny was dragged from his truck and severely beaten, and he was saved from death only by the intervention of an AME pastor. Some of you forget that part. And after a long, difficult recovery, Denny met with his attackers. And he greeted each one of them and he shook their hands. And there before the TV cameras, he forgave them. And after witnessing what had taken place, one reporter turned to the camera and commented, "It is said that Mr. Denny is suffering from brain damage." Do you get it? Do you get how far we are from God's kingdom? When he said, "It is said that Mr. Denny is suffering from brain damage," he was saying that to forgive is crazy. Only someone suffering from brain damage would forgive as he forgave. We live in a culture where forgiveness is outrageous. Where might makes right, where everyone plays the role of victim, and where decades long, even centuries old, injustices still fester. And yet we pray, not only asking God to forgive us our sins, but we make it contingent upon our willingness to forgive those who sin against us. We say to God, forgive us only to the extent that we forgive others. That is a scary prospect. Are we brain damaged enough? Are we radical enough? Are we outside this world smirks enough and inside God's kingdom enough to forgive as we have been forgiven in Jesus Christ? Now the final line of the Lord's Prayer in Luke is, do not bring us to the time of trial. Matthew says, do not lead us into temptation. Thursday at Wesley Commons, I got a good question. Does God lead people into temptation? Scripture says no. Scripture says clearly no. James in the first chapter says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. That's where temptation comes from, according to our Bible. But there's another verse which people do not really believe. They don't really believe when it says in Hebrews that Jesus was tempted. It's right there, but people just don't believe it. It says, for we have, speaking of Jesus, we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Jesus, it says in Hebrews, in every respect is tempted as we are, and yet He is without sin. Now, if Jesus is tempted as I am, as you are, as we are, then Jesus was truly tempted, and we know it. To pretend that we are not tempted to anger or bitterness or hatred or lust or jealousy or covetousness or pride or judgment or greed, etc., to say that we are not is to be dishonest to God and to reject part of the one prayer that Jesus taught was necessary. If it's a prayer, a few words, and it is. And if we believe that Jesus did not waste words on a non-existent problem, and I don't, then we pray for strength and deliverance from temptation and during our certain times of trial, because it is a fact we will be tempted and we will have times of trial. And we do need God's help when that happens. We forget our history. The early Christians in some countries, and even in some countries today, even today, face death because of their faith. They refused, the early Christians, to worship the gods of other people, and they refused to fight the wars of the Caesars, and they were good citizens in whatever earthly way they could be, but only to the extent that it did not violate their faith in Christ. They were often arrested and given the choice of renouncing Christ or being fed to the lions, of recanting their faith or being burned as a torch for the parties at Rome at night. When they prayed, "Do not bring us to the time of trial," I think they were asking God for the strength to remain faithful and to resist the temptation to renounce Christ. Now, we are usually tempted or tried by selfishness and affluence and desire. The early Christians and some today were tried or tempted to renounce their faith under penalty of death. We pray, "Lord, deliver us from such evil." We have dual citizenship. This world is part, and God's kingdom is the other. This prayer creates a crisis where we have to choose where our allegiance is. What you say you believe makes no difference unless you live it. And what you truly believe is best figured backwards from what you do in the world. This sounds wrong, but I think that a stranger following us around and watching and poring over our calendar and our encounters and our checkbook could tell the world better what you and I believe than we ourselves could. What we do reflects what we truly believe in our hearts. Anyone can say Father, anyone can say forgiveness and love and thy kingdom and thy will. But may your faith in Jesus and your prayer as Jesus taught you become who you are. They ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus taught them to pray believing and expecting God's will to be done. And that means things will change. Do more than say it, pray it. And do more than pray it, live it. And it will change you. Amen. Please stand. have had so many visitors today. We hope that you will come back, and I feel compelled to tell you that I don't normally preach this far over time. So please come back next week, and we are going to have our benediction now. Now, receive this blessing. The full knowledge of the love of God the Father, our Creator, in whose image we are made. The love, the forgiveness and grace from our Savior Jesus Christ, a Savior we know in our hearts we need. And the blessing and the comfort of the Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us from faith to deeper faith even now. On the journey from this life unto life eternal, may God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.